on this Wednesday, August the 4th, 2021. Scott Spears along with Glenn Coble here on the air, WWGH Radio. Telephone number 740-383-9944. Looking for the last four governors of the state of Ohio. We have three of them, Kasich, Strickland, and Taft. Who's the fourth? 740-383-9944. At the end of this hour, the winner will get Zumbezi Bay, Columbus Zoo, the Wild.
Not all of them.
No. But we've got to ask some more questions, and we haven't got past question number one yet. So give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Or if you have any opinion on anything else, we were getting into a conversation there earlier about senators and congressmen and governors and what should happen in states. And I had to correct Dr. Feinman last week on his...
Well, I'm not sure you corrected him. You had to disagree with him.
Again, the two points I was making were that I'm not saying that more books will be written about President Trump in any quick period than Lincoln. I just think as history evolves in 500 years, there will be more Trump books because of the curious nature of his presidency.
Yeah, but you don't have a crystal ball, so you don't know.
No, just
know.
My opinion.
You can't say he's
but,
wrong.
But in 10 years, no. But in 500, good chance. And then what I was saying in regard to, yes, people like Roosevelt and other presidents, he's the one who was mentioned last week, yes, they did have houses and senates that were Democrat of their own party, but a lot more moderates in those days. And if you were of the president's party, it didn't mean you always agreed with the president. Because, as we have mentioned, Roosevelt wanted the anti-lynching policy. Certainly Eleanor wanted the anti-lynching policy. But the Southern Democrats wouldn't go along with it. And Roosevelt has been on record as saying that had he signed that, he would have never got the New Deal passed because he had to schmooze those people who didn't want the New Deal, who were Democrats. What I'm saying is in Obama and Trump's case is they could not work with the other side to save their life. And in those days, Democrats typically did all vote for you, and Republicans did all vote for the Republican. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, caller.
What about old Nancy Hollister?
Nancy!
There you go.
Our old girl Nancy, who was governor for 10 days.
I was going to say, I didn't know if that was going to count or not. It would just go with Voinovich, but I picked Hollister.
No, it works. Do you remember her? She's a big fan. You probably had all her bumper stickers and signs.
No, I mean, I do remember Voinovich, but nope, I don't remember Hollister.
Hey, Ryan, have you been down to Zumbezi Bay or the zoo this year?
Actually, I have not.
Well, do you know, Glenn has a problem here. He doesn't know what to do with his dog when he goes down there.
Yeah.
Do they have a kennel or anything down there, do you know of?
I don't have an answer to that.
Can you watch Glenn's dog if
there?
He goes out of town?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, you can call, what's that one on Edgefield? He'll take care of you.
All right, yeah.
Well, keep listening, Ryan. Well, you have a chance to win this hour.
All right, Ryan.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
He got it. Old Nancy Hollister.
He looked it up.
So we got Ryan in.
11 days she was governor.
11 days she was governor. And people thought she was governor a year. What does that tell you? Those were the longest 11 days there had ever been in the state of Ohio. She was the lieutenant governor, by the way.
Yeah.
That's why she got the position.
Yeah.
For 10 days.
They didn't vote her in for 11
no,
days.
They didn't
throw
vote
her
in. We've never had a female elected governor.
Yeah.
But she'll be the first female governor.
Yeah, always.
For 11 days. What a giant that must be.
I'm looking forward to the first female governor of New York. That'll be interesting.
Oh, well, boy, that guy, I wouldn't give his troubles.
I wouldn't either.
He's going to be gone. He better just pack it up and get out.
Yeah, you said that Mary Ellen Withrow had suggested he retire.
No, DeWine. No.
Oh, it was DeWine.
We didn't have the answer to...
Oh, that's right. It was DeWine that she suggested should resign.
Resign.
All right.
But Cuomo, ooh, he's got problems.
It's a mess. It is a mess.
And Biden has said he should go.
And I was listening to the Talking Heads this weekend, and one or two of them agreed that all women have somebody they can go back and say they were sexually harassed by.
Can he get prosecuted?
I think I heard that that there are criminal charges involved.
Well, then
that.
He's in big trouble.
Yeah, he is.
He's in big trouble. But he has been, a lot of people feel, a good governor during this pandemic. So to change pace in the middle of this will be interesting.
He was doing a good job early with the pandemic, yeah. And I watched him quite often. I'm kind of disheartened that we are now finding out what a creep he is. But, you know, creeps get jobs too, I guess.
Okay, now, here's an interesting question for you. Ohio governor seems to be the trivia today.
Okay.
Governor Rhodes, Jim Rhodes, mm-hmm. had two... Well, he had more than two terms, but his terms were not consecutive as governor. Mm-hmm. He did lose a race to John Gilligan.
Hmm.
Now, and then he came back and beat Gilligan in the following election.
That was PG, before Glenn. BG.
Before Glenn. So, what was the issue that cost Governor Rhodes his seat to Governor Gilligan, but yet people forgave him by the time 4 years rolled around and he came back and knocked Governor Gilligan out of the spot? And by the way, I know this firsthand because I interviewed Governor Gilligan before he died, and we talked about this issue.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. So what was the issue with Governor Gilligan that led to... Rhodes not being a consecutive governor. It was all one issue. I'm sure, you know, there were other things, but a big issue cost Governor Rhodes that election.
Didn't Rhodes serve four terms?
Well, I know it was a lot.
Or was it more?
Well, I know there were two after Gilligan.
There
was at least one
before.
It might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been.
Interesting.
He lived to be about 90, I think.
Yeah, he did live late.
Lived a good long life.
Yeah.
So what cost Governor Rhodes the gubernatorialship against Gilligan? But again, people forgave this by the time 4 years had passed and he was reelected governor of Ohio. What was the issue?
Why is that, we forgive all these corrupt politicians?
Well, I don't know that this was about corruption. Okay. This issue, I don't think, dealt with corruption.
Well, but we do forgive an awful lot of corrupt
I forgive anybody. I do. I don't think anything should be held against anybody for life.
For life.
You know how long life is?
Well, maybe.
Is it their life or my life?
Maybe Hitler. Maybe.
He is the one, isn't he?
Or Mussolini.
So what was the issue? Does anybody remember Governor Rhodes?
Stalin.
Stalin. Well, he was our buddy. We got to be nice with him somewhere.
740-383-9944.
What cost Governor Rhodes the election back in the early 1970s?
That's a good question.
That gave us Governor Gilligan. One issue really did cost him that election, but he did come back.
And we're going to hear it from the friend of the horse's mouth. You.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I went out with Governor Gilligan, absolutely. You know, we did our interview at Bob Evans.
Oh, yeah.
We did, because he came in to do Exchange Club,
uh-huh.
And he did, and it was Charlie and Mary Ann and Governor Gilligan and Larry Barnett.
While he was the governor?
No, oh, okay, he had long since not been governor.
Yeah, that's what
But he was a very kind of a comedic guy.
What does that word mean?
Funny.
Oh. Comedic.
He was funny. He had
comedic.
I don't think it's comedic.
Okay.
Comedic.
I'm easy to let you please.
But I've heard a lot more people say aunt lately.
Have you?
I have.
I still say aunt.
Well, ants are bugs.
I know. I understand.
Okay.
Well, I was brought up to...
Caramel, caramel.
And I still say caramel. Well, I'm going to leave that alone. Okay.
Well, I just don't understand, to be honest with you, why, and this is, you know, we're talking, I guess, somewhat politics here, gubernatorial politics. I don't understand why. I get that power causes corruption, and that's the easy answer. But what is it in these people's DNA that causes these. Look at what's going on with DeWine. Look at what's going on with Cuomo. Look at what's going on with DeSantis down in Florida. I mean, what kind of power trips do these people get on?
If you want an earful, talk to Dr. Feynman about DeSantis.
Well, you know what? Again, if you truly believe in those people in Texas who broke the law, DeSantis...
No, we don't know it's a law.
Whatever. DeSantis is an elected official. He's allowed to do... Everything he's doing is within the law down in Florida. Now, you might not agree with it.
As far as we know.
Well, there is no federal law.
No, I mean, as far as we know.
Yeah, he hasn't... But, I mean, people are on him about the mess.
He may be taking bribes under the table and stuff like that.
But I'm saying...
Which is a breaking law.
What people are criticizing him for is...
Being a jerk?
No. They're criticizing him over the mask thing.
Yeah.
And withholding money from schools if they put mask mandates in and that sort of thing.
Like I said, being a jerk, yeah.
But it's his call. You don't like him, don't elect him.
And that's the case in every politician's
life. Leave Florida.
Yeah.
If you don't like it.
And that's why on my show I always tell people to get educated, because we will vote for the most corrupt people because they're much more... a lot of corrupt people are just good shillers, people that can shill things.
Which do you want at this point? Do you want a governor who is withholding money, doesn't want mask mandates? Do you want a governor who's probably going to be prosecuted for sexually harassing many women? Do you want a governor who maybe not, had something to do with the biggest corruption scandal in the history of a state?
I want an honest governor who has empathy for all people. And
so who is which governor is that?
There isn't one.
Oh, now see, I think that there are 50 governors.
Well, I'm sure
there's
got
to be one.
Yeah, I don't know all the governors, but
I could cite governors who I thought were honest people.
Okay, give me one.
Governor Strickland.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I think...
He was a minister, too.
He was. Methodist minister.
Yeah.
I think that...
That's why I'm partial to him.
I think that Ann Richards, down in Texas when she was there, I think was honest.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think that Ronald Reagan, when he was in California, was honest.
I'm not sure.
I think that... well, you know, I didn't see any big issues with Kasich.
No, I didn't either. But I'm not sure. I really don't know much about him.
Jimmy Carter?
Jimmy Carter, I would say, is very honest, yeah.
So there's been a lot of honest governors.
Sure. Okay, I'll vote for almost all of those.
Rhodes, Jim Rhodes. I don't think there was any corruption in his
dealings. I wasn't
around
Ohio at the time, so
Gilligan.
I don't know.
He wasn't there long enough to have any corruption.
Yeah, and also Nancy.
And Nancy Hollister.
She was absolutely
uncorrupted. She was the most honest governor you'll ever want to meet. Her 11 days were the most crystal clear you've ever seen. Oh, what a poor woman. Nancy.
Oh, I don't know why we continue to vote for people like this.
Because we don't know.
Yes, we're not educated. And we just go and vote for an R or a D, which is stupid in both cases.
But I think education and being in the dark are two different things. I think had we known that Cuomo was sexually harassing women, I don't think the R or the D would have mattered.
You know what? I think there was evidence out there about that.
But you know, boy, people have turned tail on him, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily know if I like that. I
really liked him when he was talking about the COVID stuff.
Yeah, but a great thing is tape. And I can go back to this station in 2020 when the COVID started, and people are praising him, and now those same people are saying, well, I never really liked the guy.
There is nothing in politics if there is no hypocrisy.
Well, that's just hypocrite. Certainly you don't support sexual harassment, and maybe you do think he should leave. But don't tell me you never supported him. That's not true.
As an old white guy, I will say that the line of sexual harassment is a little grayish back in the 50s. You probably, if you touched a person on the back... or you touched them on the cheek and smiled at them, you probably weren't trying to harass them sexually. You were trying to say, I like you. Whereas there have been several people that say that that's sexual harassment. Now, I understand. If a person doesn't want you to touch them, you should not touch them.
Well, I've just had enough of cancel culture. I'm not sure
what it is. So
well, it's, you know, I don't like you, so you must go. We can't just change the channel. We can't just worry about somebody else. If I don't like you, it's not good enough that I don't like you. You gotta go.
Well, quite frankly, that's what a lot of people do. They just change the channel. They go from NBC to somebody else, MSNBC.
Look at the people. And I'm not saying what they did was right at all. I'm not saying that. Charlie Rose, non-existent. Matt Lauer, non-existent. Bill Cosby, non-existent.
Now he's been kind of allowed to be free.
For a minute.
Yeah.
They're trying to cancel Cuomo. I think people would like to cancel DeSantis. I think people would like to cancel DeWine.
What was the comedian's name that was a senator?
Al Franken. There was another one.
Yeah.
Kathy Griffin, when she held the thing with Trump, the head. You know, it's just, you do something wrong, and let's get rid of you forever. Just go away. We don't ever want to see you again.
It does cast dispersions on a person's character if you do something really outrageously wrong initially. I'm not sure some of those things that you were talking about were out. Al Franken, I still don't understand, but and I think Al Franken, like I said earlier, he comes roughly from my era, and some of the things he did probably were not thoughtful, but back in the 50s and 60s, they weren't considered sexual harassment. Now, that may be wrong, but they weren't.
So. What did Cuomo do? Do we know?
Apparently, and again, this is on Talking Heads on Sunday, he brushed his hand across that state police officer who was a female. He brushed his hand across her midriff, and she said it was between her breasts and her personal parts, and that was not right. And I understand that. I wouldn't want somebody doing that to me.
Where did he do this?
I don't know. But also, apparently, he actually groped a woman's breasts at one point. But all of this is innuendo, and it hasn't been proved. So.
Okay. And this is a slippery slope. So if the woman says yes, then it's okay to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, it didn't used to be.
Well, see, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure if I totally understand this. But these women didn't want that.
That's right.
Okay. Then I can understand.
And this state police officer, this female state police officer, had more than one thing that he had done, which, and I'm listening to it as a male, I'm thinking, yeah, he was trying to... She said he was trying to sleep with her. I would have gone a little bit further, but yeah.
See, this is why you have got to be sure.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
You've got to, you've almost got to ask the girl now.
They have, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's best.
Yeah,
no, I'm saying you got to ask them, is it okay?
And you should have a long time ago. And I remember...
What kind of kills the mood there, doesn't it, Glenn?
It does. But, you know, when I worked as a car salesman for 2 years when I got out of athletics, just because, well, you don't need to know. But I worked for a car salesman, and my sales manager said to us, the way to sell a car is just remember back when you were a teenager and use the same techniques that you use to try and get a girl in bed. That's kind of shocking. And I was even shocked in a sales
meeting. Take them to church?
Take them to church.
Take them to church.
And sing a lot of hymns.
There you go.
That was what you did.
That's how you do it in the biblical way.
Yeah, good choice.
That's exactly how you do it.
Now I've lost my
train. Very similar to that. Why was Governor Rhodes not reelected in the early 1970s? What happened there that caused him to lose to Governor Gilligan? Does anybody know?
Best you've ever seen.
Well, What can you do? There was one central reason that Governor Rhodes lost to Governor Gilligan, came back 4 years later to beat him, but why did he lose? 740-383-9944. Ryan's going to get these tickets with no competition because we're not going to get anybody else in here.
How long was Strickland? Was it two terms? I thought it was only one, yeah. That was, I really liked him. I interviewed him two or three times when I was working in a newspaper, and he always gave me a straight answer. I like politicians, D or R, that'll give you a straight, honest
answer. Where is Governor Kasich?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where is he? Haven't seen him on any of the Talking Head shows.
Seems upset. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Somewhere crying. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Dr. Feynman.
Oh, Dr. Feynman, how are you?
He couldn't say
Kent
anyone.
Kent State University, the Kent State incident in May 4th, 1970.
Yes.
You got it.
And I wanted to correct, since I'm on the phone for a minute, about Ryan. If Ryan's running for the Senate, he's not running for the House anymore, but he stays in that seat until the end of his term, and other people will have to run for the seat for next year.
Now, would that be, they would be primarying, right?
Well, there'll be primaries in both parties, yeah. But people will announce for the House seat because he's giving it up, not until the election. But he stays in the seat until he becomes senator, and if he doesn't, he loses his House seat because he's not running. He can't run for both seats at the same time.
The House okay, that was my question. Yeah, great.
Yeah, so I just wanted to answer that.
Well, make sure you...
next hour, but I wanted to mention it's Kent State University, which, frankly, he deserves defeat for that because of the loss of 4 people and 10 people wounded.
Yeah,
there you go.
One of them that was wounded is a good friend of mine. So yeah, I.
And one of the 4 who were killed is memorable. Jeffrey Miller, who lived in New York, who was the only child of his parents, and he wasn't even involved in the demonstration. He was killed, and there was a photograph taken of a young girl weeping over his body as blood drained out. That's a famous picture.
Yeah, I've seen that.
The point is, I think she still may be around, but 50 years have passed, and she had lost her only son, and the father had died. It's such a tragedy.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And yet they got away with it in the trial, just like with the Boston Massacre. They were found not guilty of the National Guard.
Is that right?
That's sad, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you go on with what you're doing, but anyway, it is Kent State.
It is Kent State. Thank you, Dr. Feynman.
Thanks, Dr.
Sure,
Feynman.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, all right, well, if he wins, you got to mail him his ticket.
I got to go pick him up and bring him up here.
Bring him up to Zumbezi Day. But, it was Kent State. That was the issue. Governor Rhodes went in there and banged on the desk and said, we're going to bring in the National Guard.
I didn't know that.
Then what happened.
But I'm not nearly as smart as you or Dr. Feynman.
Well, I'm glad Dr. Feynman's listening. Now he can answer all my...
all your questions.
All my disputes to last week.
Yeah, go ahead and shoot them at him.
Well, Dr. Feynman, here's what I was saying about the program last week where you had spoken about what I had said. I'm not saying more... Uh-oh. Is this him calling back?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Here we go. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you said you had some copies of Three Pies Hot book that you were talking about on the radio.
I do.
How much are they?
Honestly, at this point, I don't really know because the price that's in there was back in 1993. So I got to look. You looking for a copy?
Yeah, I was going to get a copy.
Well, I tell you what, let me try to figure that out here. A couple people have inquired about this. So I'll try to figure that out, and hopefully I'll have an answer tomorrow.
Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye. That's the second person who's inquired about a copy of this book.
And you happen to have 2 sitting right there.
I have 2 sitting right there, but I'm not... Maybe we'll do them as gifts.
Okay.
Maybe we'll sell them. It's for profit. It's not a charity, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But, the Dr. Feynman issues.
Yes.
The Dr. Feynman issues were, I'm not saying that more books will be written about Trump in any recent time, but give it 200-300 years, and I think there will be more written about Trump than Lincoln. That's what Phil Donahue said as well when I was talking with him, because of the unorthodox nature of his presidency. I'm not saying they'll all be good books. Probably the majority won't be good books, but they'll be... I think there'll be books written about Twitter alone. I think there'll be books written about the fact that he came from no political background, no military background.
No intelligent background.
To
I'm sorry.
There go the listeners. Two impeachments. First president to ever have that happen. Not that that's great, but it's true. An insurrection. First time that that has ever happened in modern times. There are just so many things that happened during that. And everybody thought he would lose. I mean, you could go back to election night 2016 and just write about that.
Yeah.
How he went through 17 Republicans who were all seasoned, had more money than him in the beginning, and all this.
Well, he did lose. He lost by 3 million votes.
I'm not with the Republicans.
Oh,
the Republican primaries.
And, yeah.
And then goes in and beats a former first lady during our the way our system is, the electoral college.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying about Trump. And what I'm saying about... here we go. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Are you there, caller?
Didn't like your answer, I think.
Well, if that's you, call back in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If that was you, give us a buzz.
There he is.
There we go. Let's go back to this. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
Hey, I'll just wait and listen to see what you figure on them books tomorrow, then. I was on my way up.
Well, you know what? I come up and get it, because I already set one aside for you.
Okay.
Yeah, just come on up.
All right, then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, I did make a promise to somebody about these books, so you got to honor your promises.
You do.
In any event, the other part was... talking about how Obama and Trump are two presidents who can't get anything done because they're not tremendous schmoozers, I believe is true, because when Dr. Feinman refers to somebody like Roosevelt was the example last week he gave as having a lot of Democrats in office, well, in those days, there were moderate Democrats. Just like in Nixon days, there were moderate Republicans. And had all the Republicans stood behind Nixon, he would have stayed. Like Goldwater, but he didn't.
Do you not believe there are any moderate... I believe there are
not
moderate...
Not like there were in those days.
No, but I believe there are moderate Democrats. You might find two or three moderate Republicans.
But and as I said again, the big example is Roosevelt was for anti-lynching. He was a Hyde Park Democrat. But he said, if I sign this into law, if I do an executive order, which I could, if I act on civil rights at all... I will lose the Democrats in the South, and I cannot get any New Deal stuff done. So the idea that all the Democrats were for New Deal and civil rights and all just because they were Democrats is not true. And a matter of fact, that did not become true until about the last 15 years, that D's and R's just followed the president.
Well, and I think D's back then were very much in favor of anti-racial mixing and that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
even in the North.
Yeah.
But you also go back to, first of all, if we go back to after the Roosevelt era, the first African American, it's either congressman or senator, was Ed Brooke, who was a Republican.
Yeah, and wasn't that right before?
Wasn't he a senator? I believe he was a senator.
I don't remember.
Senator or congressman. But he was a Republican.
That was in the late 1800s, wasn't it?
No. He didn't come around till the 60s.
I was thinking the first was... Okay, never mind.
So, I just think the idea that parties followed the leader... Now, by the era of Clinton... The Newt Gingrich Republicans did not like Bill Clinton, but but he was able to make deals with them. He did. He compromised, but he made deals. George W. Bush, the Democrats did not love George W. Bush, partially because of 9/11 and partially because Bush was more liberal on immigration. He was able to make deals with the Democrats. Obama and Trump... I'm sure there were deals made, but nothing like there had been. It was, and I understand people will say that they wanted to make him a one-term president when it comes to President Obama, but you know what? Look at what Newt Gingrich was saying about Bill Clinton in the 94 elections. But he still went back and made deals with him.
Yeah, but the Republicans at the time of Obama were unscrupulous in how they would do it. I think Newt Gingrich was just trying to do it. And McConnell has become a master of stopping anything he doesn't like just by using the extent of the rules. you know, he's using the rules to the point where they're screaming, "You're breaking me!"
Well, I don't know. I think the Republicans, you know, what they call that? They used a slogan to get into the House and Senate in 94. Newt Gingrich's, it wasn't the New Deal, that just keeps coming to mind. Mm-hmm. It was the Contract with America.
Oh.
Contract with America. And that was all based in, we hate Bill Clinton, he's corrupt and all this sort of thing. But when it was all put aside, he was able to sit down with them and made deals with that group. And Obama...
Didn't hurt that the American public loved him, so...
Well, I think the American public loved Obama to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yet he could not bolster that, even with Boehner. And Boehner, I don't think is a... I don't even think Paul Ryan was an obstructionist type of person. But he just wasn't able to make deals with them. He just could not.
I don't know, but I have seen lists that go on forever of the things that Obama did, and it included years when he didn't have the power.
But you know, people say it about Obama today. They say in person, he's kind of an aloof guy. He's not a gregarious guy.
People that don't like him say that.
Well, no, I've heard people say.
I've heard him say that
he's shy. He's kind of a shy guy.
Oh, yeah, shy. That's different.
But what they always said about Clinton was, you cannot not like this guy. When he's in a room, you can't. You might disagree with everything he says, but you like him.
I've lived with a shy woman for 51 years, so maybe I'm just used to shy guys and shy girls.
And there's nothing wrong with Obama. I'm just saying we have to get somebody who knows how to cut the deals.
And I think that's what we have now in Biden, yeah.
Well, if it's true...
And I think Biden did it for Obama.
Well, if it's true, then we have to say that look at... the last two, why is this one able to do it when the other two were not?
Well, Obama only had, what, 4 or 8 years in the Senate, and Joe has 150 years in the Senate. I think that helps him a lot. He knows some of the power brokers from the other side. He knows all of the power brokers from the... Well, I think he knows all the power brokers.
I think when you... say things about the other side that are taken by the other side as vicious, then you're not going to win them over. Mm-hmm. And I think in Obama and Trump's cases, things were said in public that certainly did not make them any friends.
Especially with Trump, considering the 35,000 lies that he told.
Well, yeah, Trump, I mean, he did have a problem with speaking in public, calling people names, and they're not going to vote for him.
And he had a problem with reality. I think I listened to his niece, who's a psychologist, last night, and I think he's mentally ill. I really do.
Well, if he is, then we really should look at some of the things that are being said about him. Because an illness is an illness.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And if we find that he is mentally ill, we're going to have to those of us who are Democrats are going to have to look at him and feel sorry for him rather than hate him.
You know what I can't understand, though? And this is the truth. And if somebody can answer this, and again, I'm not saying this. This is just a question. If Trump is so bad, because that's what people will say, they have a very strong feeling that he's awful. But also people do love him and have a very strong feeling that way. If he truly was such a nut, such an obstructionist, such an unhinged, lying, off-the-beam guy, if the vice president, the Congress, and the Senate, who were all Republican when he came in, governors, the majority of governors in this country were Republican, he couldn't have got anything done. If he one man does not run this country, but why? Let's say all of that was because he was mentally ill. Well, where were the runners? Where were the guards? Where were the safety rails?
I think you answered it. They were all Republican.
And yeah, but are they mentally ill?
I would say they're cowards.
Of what?
They're afraid that he will come out with his base. And you've said he has people that love him.
He does.
He will come out with his base and steal it away. And even if it's only 30% now, you can't win the Republican primary if you lose 30% of the Republicans or 30% of the population right off the bat.
Well, then shouldn't you blame these people more than Trump?
Oh, I do. I really, really, really do.
More than Trump.
More than Trump.
Yeah, yes, well, there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't like Trump, as you know, as my listeners know. But he wouldn't have been allowed to do that if the Republicans in Congress had any backbone or any strength of character.
But
there are some that do, though. I must say, there are Republicans that are fine people.
But you know, it's been a while. But there are other presidents that have been as disliked as him. It's just people treated it in a different way.
But has there ever been a president that told as many lies?
Oh, lies, I don't know. I don't know.
Of course, nobody was counting before.
But I would say leaving the country in worse shape, Hoover did. Left the country in worse shape than Trump did. I would say that Nixon really left things in the middle of the night.
The good thing about Trump is he did so little that actually he left the country in pretty much the same shape he took it over.
Honestly, the fact that Hoover rates better than Trump on these lists, I think there's a problem somewhere.
People hate the guy. And that's not right. And maybe it will change.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not saying he was the greatest, but that Hoover rates better than Trump, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Millard Fillmore.
Those are people that the people that vote don't know anything about.
Yeah, but they put them on these lists.
I know.
Can't do that.
Well, Dr. Feynman and I have talked about it. He brought up the list of, I can't remember the company that made the list up, and he'll remind me, I'm sure. But that list is based on people that weren't alive at the time you're talking, those presidents.
Well, then we have to give some deference to what's going on.
All these are just guesses. They're none of them. Nobody knows the truth.
But liking the person, I don't think should figure in. And I don't believe some of these lists because that Obama is as high as he is. That there's some other ones that I look up there and I go, what? I mean, how
Obama's
in the world?
10th, right?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think that's.
Oh, I think that's might be low. I know you don't.
Well, I'm not saying he was a bad president, but that he's above Bill Clinton or above. Is he above Teddy Roosevelt now? I think that's wrong.
No, I don't know. I don't know about Teddy Roosevelt.
I don't know. I think that is just
to rank these people is probably a fool's errand because. First of all, none of us were alive when Teddy Roosevelt was alive. We weren't in the Oval Office when decisions were made. We had no chips in the game. So I think it's a fool's errand to try and to rank them.
Kennedy is always high. I don't get that.
Well, that's because he was a martyr. He was killed and he was a nice guy. He had a beautiful wife. I'm not sure he was a nice guy, but he had a beautiful wife and he spoke well. He was a great orator. His wife was also spoke well, even though she was shy. It was, you know, American Camelot. It was a warm feeling for those people.
So does how the... and I always wonder this. I think this is a big part of it. I really believe one... And people say policy and jobs and all that. That's that. But I really think it's how do you make the country feel? And that's what Kennedy did. Not a lot of policy. Not, and he had tremendous failures. The Bay of Pigs, Cuban Missile Crisis. Yeah. I mean, that came out, but it shouldn't have happened.
But he handled it well once it
handled it well. Yeah. Not the Bay of Pigs.
No, absolutely.
Didn't handle that well at all.
No.
But he probably did steal the election, we now know. And Nixon should have been ticked, and there probably should have been a recount in Chicago. People got up and out of the graves to vote in Chicago in 1960.
Back in those days, that was pretty typical.
Apparently not for the Nixon camp. He should have went over to more cemeteries.
Yeah, maybe.
Campaign in those cemeteries. But I just, if it is truly how you make the country feel, then Roosevelt is right, and Reagan should be higher. Because that's one thing I will give Ronald Reagan every chip in the world for. Maybe not his policies, but coming out of Carter, Reagan did make you feel good. He made you feel American. He looked like the president. He sounded like the president.
Well, you're talking to a guy with a wife and myself who did not like Reagan.
So. But he won 49 states.
But he didn't win the Cobles.
No, but I mean, that is amazing that a man in modern times won 49 states.
And I think he did it based on a lot, you know, he was really good with that chimpanzee on in a movie.
Bedtime for Bonzo?
Yeah.
No, but he just, his wife looked like the first lady.
Yeah.
She was in those gowns. And they had tremendous parties at the White House. You never saw Reagan take a bad picture. He
knew how.
He got it.
Yeah.
And he made the American people feel good. It's morning in America.
He didn't make all of us feel good. I did not feel good while he
How he won California as a Republican in the 80s?
That's a good question.
The only state he lost was Minnesota, because that's where Mondale was from.
Well, and he was from California.
And that was iffy. He didn't lose Minnesota by that much. But the biggest landslide in presidential history, period. Electoral college-wise. And it's unbelievable that he did that at a time when he was the oldest president ever elected.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's a young guy. I mean, not now.
Well, how old are you? About 74, I think, when that all went down.
Somewhere around
but
there.
Reagan really got how to make you feel good. He, the first day, you know, the hostages were released.
Well, and that was a political...
You know, I don't know.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
I'm convinced of that.
I don't know.
I know it as well as you know some of the things you've pulled out of your crystal ball today.
Well, that's not a crystal ball. I'm just saying, I don't know who would the deal have been made with.
I'm absolutely certain something. It was just too coincidental.
Well, what I think happened is Reagan campaigned that, you know, we're going to come in and knock you out. Carter would never say that.
No.
And I think they were afraid.
He's too good a Christian, yeah.
And I think they were afraid that here comes old... You gotta remember, they thought Reagan was crazy.
Well, yeah.
Here comes this movie star. And I think that's what led to it. Now...
Okay. All right. Well, I'll ask Dr. Freiman.
Or maybe it was those arms for hostages. I don't know.
There's the other side of the story. Now... I'll ask Dr. Feynman.
I have
about
a sneaking
that.
Suspicion Dr. Feynman doesn't like Ronald Reagan.
I think you're probably right.
I think we're going to get a little biased nature there on this answer. I got to preface it with that.
Oh, me. I don't know. If we had a crystal ball, we could answer all these questions, but most of the questions that you and I are talking about today, you'd have to be in the Oval Office to know the true answer.
Just my opinion is Franklin Roosevelt, Bill Clinton, and Ronald Reagan got that the House and the Senate weren't always with them, and they could schmooze. Those were three great schmoozers.
Yeah, they were good schmoozers.
Go ahead.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey. What's going on with Project Playground?
What's going on with Project Playground?
Yeah, drove by them. They have it all bulldozed.
Oh, they bulldozed
really?
Project Playground?
Yeah, I know this isn't as fascinating or riveting as talking about Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, but I just wondered if you...
Do I hear sarcasm in your voice?
No, I just wanted to know how you guys are with what's going on in the booming metropolis of Marion, Ohio.
Well, I hear they just bulldozed Project Playground.
Yeah, I heard that
too. They did, and if you don't believe me, you can just go right on down... Whatever street that is.
Maybe they have to bulldoze to put up new stuff.
Maybe they're going
to
build a new one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, inquiring minds want to know.
Well, let's see if we know anything.
You
we'll, thank you.
We'll listen.
Hey, I'm not done yet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Now, I was busy earlier, and I heard your little ditty about the bus. You know, there's a special route that if you pay double fare, we can go up to 5 miles outside the city limits.
Well, you never told me that.
That's cool.
Well, you never asked.
What's double fare?
Well, $1.25 is normal fare.
Yeah, $2.50.
$2.50.
Yeah.
So if I pay $2.50, you'll come right to my door.
Now, just to be 100% accurate, it's not $2.50 on the dot. It depends how far you get to pay as you go. And as I say, we can go up to 5 miles outside the city limit. But you have to schedule that 24 hours in advance.
Let's say I give you $3. Will you come to my door and bring me over here in the morning?
I'm not the brains of the operation. I just drive.
Who drives the East Side bus?
She's just the cutie.
There's different ones. But you, being past the Myers, you'd have to get one of the special buses.
Does that mean the short buses?
Can I get my own bus?
Go ahead.
Well, now go ahead and take you right off the air. I know. Why would you say such a thing?
I'm not happy, no. I'm getting off the air. I'll see you.
Oh, Glenn, you had it going there
I'm
for
sorry.
A second, then you shot
that
yourself in the foot.
That was truly unpolitically correct.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Sorry.
Well, Ryan, you've won some tickets to Zumbezi Bay on that ugly
Congratulations,
night.
Ryan.
So, Ryan, you can come in today. If you can get in here by 1, you can get these. Nate will be here from 4 to 5 today. You can pick them up then, or you can pick them up tomorrow between 10 and 1. Zumbezi Bay tickets
cool.
right here for Ryan.
All
yes,
right.
There they are. Okay. That's that. Well, you got a couple of minutes here, Glenn. What do you got to say?
Ronald Reagan.
Wonderful.
I'm looking forward to talking with Dr. Feynman today. And he is he's our presidential expert, if we have one. So.
But you don't think, a parting note, that Reagan made the country feel better after Carter's malaise?
I am not much of a... I liked Carter because... Believe it or not, this atheist liked that Christian attitude, I wasn't happier under Reagan, so that's all I can say.
No, but I'm saying, you think Carter was a good president?
I don't know. I wasn't in the Oval Office. I don't know what he did
Maybe. This book is for Ralph.
Okay.
I'll leave that here.
All right.
So, Ralph, you can come get your book till 1 o'clock today, and then we'll figure out how we're going to deal all these other books out. I guess if we get rid of all of them, maybe, I don't know if there's any more that exist. I know there's some at the Historical Society now.
Cool.
But I guess we'll see what happens.
Is that my Uncle Ralph?
Your Uncle Ralph, yes.
Oh, wait a minute. He
won't be getting
a long
book.
Time ago.
Sorry about him. All right, listen, tomorrow we'll get you some more, we'll get you some info on the book. Maybe who knows what we'll do. We'll figure something out.
You got to get a hold of that envelope.
I got to get out of here. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You know, but I believe in the city. I believe in the tribe. The president is taking 300 of the employees over to Wrigley Field. And I believe that we're going to have one or two wins coming out of there.
It is an amazing night here, and it's great time. And tonight, to win the opener, does that give them momentum, in your opinion?
Yes, I do. I believe it. I mean, they've been waiting for this all season. Cleveland Indians was counted out. They didn't believe in us, but we in Cleveland, and the time is now.